We are celebrating Easter. Easter is not only Easter Sunday, it is the whole octave, meaning it goes up until tomorrow, and then it extends for 50 days up until Pentecost. So a season to celebrate the resurrection, the triumph over sin and death. This is the seventh day of the octave. So by now we have reflected on the different experiences of people who saw the risen Lord. And the gospel today gives us a little summary of what happened. Yes, Mary Magdalene saw him, but they didn't believe her. And then the two disciples on the way to Emmaus saw him. They didn't believe them. And finally, Jesus appeared to them and rebuked them. This is Mark's version of what happened. When we come to Divine Mercy Sunday tomorrow, and we'll hear about Jesus' first appearance to the apostles, it says that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Yes, they rejoiced, but not right away. So, yes, they had to pass through doubt, fear, amazement, a whole turmoil of emotions until they could finally get to rejoicing. Perhaps it's good for us to see that that's what happens to the apostles, because this is what happens to us, and this is what happens to people with whom we share the gospel. People don't always believe everything right away. There's a lot of stages that we may have to pass through. The beautiful thing about the gospel in Mark's version, the one I just read, is that after Jesus rebukes them for being so hard of heart and being so slow to believe, he still commissions them to go out and proclaim the gospel, as if to say, your weakness and your doubts and your failure to believe do not disqualify you to be witnesses. Now you have the responsibility of sharing the good news with the world. Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Beautiful. No one is excluded from the responsibility of sharing the gospel. Yes, we're weak. Yes, we have doubts. We've had sins. We have judgments against people and all kinds of failings. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to proclaim the gospel or to live the gospel. However, we're not focusing today so much on this Easter gospel as on the theme that's chosen for today, which comes from today's first reading. I introduced it at the beginning of the Mass, and it's on your song sheet here. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. These are the words of St. Peter. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. Why does he say this? Let's go back to the situation that he finds himself in. If you look at the picture on the song sheet, you can see Peter and John, and in between them, this man who is in the stage of being healed. He's throwing down his crutches. He's suddenly able to walk. He has not been able to walk for his whole life. But now Peter has said to him, I don't have any money. I don't have any silver or gold. But what I have, I'll give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise. And it worked, a miraculous healing. So this picture is of an earlier stage in what was happening. After that, people were amazed to see this man walking around, and they started to gather in a crowd, and Peter started to preach to them. How did this happen? It happened because of Jesus Christ. Then the authorities in the Jerusalem temple, members of the Sanhedrin, the high priests, the chief priests, the scribes, they didn't like seeing Peter and John preaching, so they arrested them and brought them before their council, the Sanhedrin. And that's what today's reading is, where Peter and John are being put on the stand, you could say. They're being forced to defend themselves for having preached in the temple precincts. So here it says, observing the boldness of Peter and John and perceiving them to be uneducated, ordinary men, the leaders, elders, and scribes were amazed. Uneducated, ordinary men. Uneducated, especially in those days, meant they didn't know how to read or write. And it also meant they had not been trained in the and the conversation that went on about resurrection and about the will of God and about how to follow the law of God. In other words, these uneducated, ordinary men, fishermen from Galilee, they were not qualified to be preaching in the temple, obviously, but they were doing it. What the chief priests and the scribes couldn't deny, though, was that the crippled man was standing there fully healed. He was standing there in front of them. What could they say about it? He was obviously healed, an obvious miracle. So they come up with the idea, well, since we can't deny the miracle, all we can do is tell these men never to preach like this and never to speak to anyone in the name of Jesus. They don't even mention his name. So that was their stern warning that they gave to Peter and John. And this is where Peter makes this beautiful reply. It's where we get the theme. Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. You're in charge of judging this sort of thing. But then he says, but it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. This is what we're reflecting on. Is it really impossible not to speak about what we have seen and heard? Is it impossible? We might think of all the times when Jesus did a miraculous healing in his public ministry and then told the people who experienced the miracle, don't tell anyone. But they still did it. They couldn't help themselves. It's as if they were saying, it's impossible not to speak about it. I was blind before, and now I can see. I was crippled, and now I can walk. How can I not speak about it? Even though Jesus told them sternly not to speak about it. So in that sense, we say, well, sometimes it's just too good not to say something about it. And that seems to be what Peter's saying here. But is it really impossible? Now we think back to, well, for us, it's only about 8 days ago, liturgically. But for Peter, maybe 2 or 3 months earlier, when Peter declared solemnly that he would never deny the Lord. It would be impossible for me to deny the Lord. I will never deny the Lord. And then that very night, he denied him 3 times. Was it impossible for him to deny the Lord? No, it wasn't impossible. Was it impossible for him to not speak about what he had seen and heard? It wasn't impossible. He didn't do it. He had seen Jesus work miracles. He had heard him proclaim the good news. But Peter, in a moment of fear, in a moment of weakness, found it impossible to speak up. So it was impossible to speak, not impossible not to speak. So here's Peter, I say, just a couple months later, boldly proclaiming Jesus to the very men who had him killed, crucified. A very daring, a very risky thing to do. Certainly he knew that he could face the same treatment that Jesus faced, and Jesus predicted, this is what's going to happen. As they treat me, they're going to treat you. If they oppose me, they're going to oppose you. Peter knew that, but he still spoke boldly. Now, how can we not speak about what we have seen and heard? It has to be proclaimed. So what happened between that terrible night when Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and this moment when he's speaking very openly, even in front of the authorities? What happened? Well, first of all, Jesus died and rose again. And Peter saw the risen Lord a number of times. That's one thing. Then all the disciples saw Jesus ascend to heaven. It's another thing. And then, 10 days later, they received the Holy Spirit. So 3 big changes took place in Peter's life between the denial and the proclamation, between being afraid to speak and saying it's impossible not to speak. Witness of the resurrection, witness of the ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now he's at this stage of saying, you can't stop us from speaking unless you want to put us to death. You can't stop us. who are we supposed to obey? You or God? It's impossible for us not to obey God. We will never deny the Lord. As if Peter's saying, I'll never deny him again. I've made that mistake 3 times in one night. I'm not going to do that again. Now, Peter, here he's an uneducated, ordinary man, proclaiming the gospel in front of very educated, elite men, has a lot of opportunity to reflect on this proclamation of the gospel. First of all, Jesus told them to do this in this appearance when he says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. That was the command, and Peter's going to obey it. But what about this problem of fear? Yes, we know what we're supposed to do, but what if people oppose us? What if they laugh at us? What if they make fun of us? This is actually the most common kind of persecution in our experience, right? People are not throwing stones at us for being Christians, but they will make jokes about us. Even our own family members, you must have this happen. Oh, you're so religious, they're going to church again. Oh, you think you're so holy. It's mockery. That's the kind of persecution that we would probably face more than danger to our health. But what do we do with this problem of fear? I want to turn to Peter from a later stage in his journey. This is the first letter of Peter in the Bible. Now, this is, you say, how did an uneducated man write a letter? Well, either he was educated, first of all, he was certainly educated by Jesus, and he was educated by the Holy Spirit. But maybe along the way, he also learned how to read and write, I don't know. Or perhaps this letter was dictated, transcribed by someone who knew how to write. In any case, this is what Peter says. This is first letter of Peter, chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised that a trial by fire is occurring among you, as if something strange were happening to you. Here's Peter now reflecting on the Christian life and saying, it's not strange at all that people oppose us. Do not be surprised, he says, as if something strange were happening to you, but rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. See how different Peter's perspective is? Not only is he not afraid to suffer, he thinks it's a great thing. It's an occasion for rejoicing because it will lead to glory. This is a Christian perspective. This is a faith perspective. This is not a natural perspective. Of course we still have fear. Of course Peter still has fear. But he overcomes his fear by the power of faith. Rejoice to the extent that you share the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice exultantly. Then he continues, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, that's what can happen, mocked, you know, made fun of, or rejected. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. That's a good thing. Now, he might be thinking back about this experience in front of the chief priest. What a blessing it was to be able to be opposed by these people, because it gave me an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Now, he probably didn't think he was going to be released, Peter. Probably thought he was going to be thrown in jail. They released him. They didn't know what to do with him. In a later stage, he gets arrested again. In fact, he gets arrested a number of times. And finally, he's martyred, as we know, in Rome. Here's what he's saying, anyway. This is chapter 4 of his first letter. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let no one among you be made to suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as an intriguer. If you're going to suffer, don't suffer for doing evil. Suffer for being a Christian. Don't suffer for being all these other things. But whoever is made to suffer as a Christian should not be ashamed, but glorify God because of the name. The name of Jesus Christ. Glorify God because of the name. And this is exactly what Peter does in this encounter with the authorities. He proclaims the name of Jesus. In fact, he said, I think it was in yesterday's reading, there isn't any other name. I better quote that properly. Yeah, yesterday's reading, an earlier stage of this same encounter. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Well, that's Peter's experience. He went from fear to joyful proclamation, even at the risk of suffering. He went from living in a natural condition to living by faith. By faith. And that's what we're invited to do in the Easter season. Sin has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Fear has been defeated. Our enemies have been defeated. There's no reason for us, no legitimate reason for us, not to proclaim the gospel, not to live as Christians. It's impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. It should be impossible for us not to live according to what we have been taught, the grace we have received by the power of the Spirit, so that it can be known, so that the whole world can know the good news of Jesus Christ.